Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Greg Rousseau later this hour. Right now, Scott Barrett from FantasyPoints.com. I would venture to say nobody writes as thoroughly and as intelligently in the fantasy space as Scott. And he, I'm proud to say, is a member of our Deep End Invitational Drafts, which continue tonight and tomorrow night. One of the best. Scott, thanks for your time today.
Wow, yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure to come on.
I was reading, I haven't finished it yet. I was reading your draft guide, and I love, it's so sophisticated. I love how you can customize rankings to the site where you're drafting. And maybe people don't realize how big of a difference that can make. Like, I was invited into one Yahoo League, which drafted last night, and I did what I wanted. You know, I felt like I was going to take some of these, you know, the younger running backs later after starting with receivers, whatever quarterback I get 10 teams, you know. And so I'm vain, so I get the email from Yahoo. It's like, oh, here's your report card. And I click on the report card, is a big fat F. And I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, arrogant about this stuff these days, but I took that as kind of a compliment. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I have my home league over on Yahoo, and like every year, whoever gets the worst grade wins it. Whoever gets the A+ finishes dead last. I always get the Fs because I intentionally don't draft a kicker or defense. Like, I'll take a, you know, high upside RB2, like a handcuff running back or something, and just drop them and pick up a quarterback and defense right before the season starts. And so they just automatically give you an F for that.
Yeah, the report card is seemingly how closely you drafted to their rankings.
Yeah, which are bad, which are really bad. They have like an underdog in FFPC. Malik Nabers is like borderline round 2 pick on Yahoo. He's still round 6 somehow.
Yeah, somehow. Well, we've talked about the Bills not that long ago. You had questions about their receiver room and other things, too. And, I mean, I don't know. I think it's more than anything else amazing how this has been transformed last year to this year. It doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but we've been talking about this every day. And it even got to the point, Scott, for me, where the Bills yesterday cut an undrafted free agent named Tyrell Shavers, who people were talking up during training camp and the preseason, and it was just like sort of another strike against to me. Like, just it's almost been surreal trying on Claypool and MVS and Hamler and Isabella and all these guys. Here we are. I mean, it's five receivers. We don't know if Samuel's healthy. Shakir, Coleman, MVS, Mac Hollins. Is it not incredible how this has changed for the Bills?
Yeah, I think I said it last time. It feels like they're following the Kansas City model. You know, they had Tyreek Hill, best wide receiver in football, in my opinion, maybe the most valuable non-quarterback in real-life NFL football, and they got rid of him. They had arguably like the worst wide receiver core in the NFL for 2 years in a row, and they won the Super Bowl both years. And that seems like a natural consequence of, you know, you pay Josh Allen that money. You need him to be Superman, maybe lean a bit more on your defense, on the running game, which we did see following the play caller change last year. And you got this exciting young rookie, and or not rookie, sophomore tight end who, you know, maybe Dalton Kincaid could be their Travis Kelce. The offense runs through him as the number one receiver.
How realistic is that for you? I mean, I have no issue at all with the player. I think he made sense as a late first round pick athletically. It didn't make a lot of sense to me based on what position he goes by, but otherwise, you know, okay, I can mostly buy into this. Do you think we're going to get the kind of season that I would say they need from him to be able to call that a win, Kincaid? And in fantasy, if the answer is yes, that's huge.
I think the fantasy question is tougher from a real-life NFL perspective. Like, from an NFL perspective, I love the player. I'm so high on Dalton Kincaid. I think he has a tremendous upside. I think he can be your, you know, number one possession receiver. From a fantasy perspective, it's a little trickier. Just with the other tight end there, you really have it's difficult to ever see, you know, two tight ends who are heavily involved. One of the guys have a massive year for fantasy. You did see that with when Doug Peterson was with the Eagles. You had Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. But they, like, lived in 12 – like, they played more 12 personnel than any offense we've seen in, like, 8 years. And they didn't have a wide receiver two on that team. They didn't have a wide receiver three on that team. And you see that in Kincaid's splits from last season.
Mm-hmm.
When Dawson Knox was on the field, you know, he was putting up low-end tight end one numbers. When Knox was off the field, he was, you know, top five, one of the most top five valuable tight ends in fantasy with great volume. The one counter-argument to this that I keep coming back to, which has me leaning into the upside argument, is that if you look at the 50 plays last year where Kincaid was on the field and Stephon Diggs was off the field, like 30 plays, basically like a typical game, you'd say he scored like 39 fantasy points with like a 60% target share. It's possible. I just struggle to see it if Dawson Knox is going to be as heavily involved as the team keeps hinting at.
And Knox has a contract. I mean, that doesn't always need to matter or be what the team sort of leans on, but I think they've made an investment in him. He's part of the core of the Bills. And I think more importantly, as you've said already, if they want to be, if you will, more conservative, run the ball more, Knox is absolutely integral to that. And Kincaid absolutely isn't. I mean, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to block too often. He'll never pass block. So that sort of mutes my enthusiasm about him a little bit. Of the wide receivers, you know, they're all kind of going in the middle, not all of them, but say the top three, Coleman, Shakir, and Samuel. Who's your best bet?
Yeah, I'm not really targeting any of them, to be honest, in my own drafts, but best bet I would say is Keon Coleman. I wasn't the biggest fan of him heading into the draft, but obviously great immediate landing spot for fantasy. Guy's an elite touchdown scorer. Like, I never reference high school stats, but like as a junior in high school, he had something like 38 touchdowns on like 42 catches, which sounds almost impossible. And then his like first, you know, he steps foot in Buffalo Stadium for the first time ever, and he's like, oh yeah, I just scored 6 imaginary touchdowns. And he was great at that in college too. So I could see him getting double digit touchdowns, something like Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs combined for like 90% of Buffalo's end zone targets last year. So plenty of touchdown opportunities for Keon Coleman.
That's an interesting area, and you're a great guy to ask this of. You talked a little bit about how you got to that that conclusion on Coleman. And, you know, I don't like to refer to high school stats, but this is insane. What general process do you have when it comes to touchdowns? We talked about Knox a couple of years ago. Knox might have had 9 in a season, or 8 at least, but he never had the target share, didn't have the key numbers. And so I think it was a mistake at that time to predict that kind of season again for Knox, and that proved to be correct. But I don't want to dismiss touchdowns altogether, because there might be ways to predict it smartly.
Yeah, so, you know, the projections process always starts on a team level, is how many touchdowns do we expect the team to score? And, you know, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills, so we're expecting a lot, hopefully a lot. And then you remove a Stephon Diggs, you remove a Gabe Davis. You saw that really valuable near end zone usage or inside the end zone usage. And so I have a stat called XTD, expected touchdowns, where it just looks at, you know, deep targets, you're more likely to score a touchdown. If you're standing in the end zone, you're more likely to score a touchdown. Or if you get targeted inside the red zone, you're more likely to score a touchdown. And so, yeah, looking back at last year's stats, I don't have the exact number, but it was something like 92% of all end zone targets went to those two receivers who are no longer on the team. So, yeah, that's good for Kincaid. You know, wasn't really a prolific touchdown scorer. It was more of like a PPR machine. And then Keon Coleman, who just has tremendous height, he scored 11 touchdowns last year. Florida State, I don't know if you know their receiving core, but like every guy there is 6'6 or taller. And so to me, he stands out as the one to benefit the most. But like I said, I didn't love his separation abilities. I didn't love his route running. So some concerns with the yardage, but if you're in a standard league or a half PPR league, I like the touchdown upside a lot.
Scott Barrett, Fantasy Points, my guest on the Western Hotline. Mike Shope here, Bulldog, is off this week. Let's transition from that point to talking more about drafts this year and players on other teams. The Bills, speaking of touchdowns, last year on offense alone had 51. That's a good number. The Jets had 18. 18 offensive touchdowns. No games were canceled. 17 games. How about that? But here we are in the year 2024, Scott, and two Jets go in the first round almost every time. Breece Hall, of course. You have him as a top three pick. And Garrett Wilson, you know, sometimes at least, goes late first round. Is that pretty safe? Maybe it's different for each guy, but we had one of our colleagues on earlier, Joe DiBiase, and he said that Ben Roethlisberger has thrown for 300 yards in a game more recently than Aaron Rodgers has. You know, there's a long list of guys that have done it. I know we missed a season. How confident are we in that offense?
Yeah, I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm a big believer in the Jets this year. I place bets on them to win MVP, Aaron Rodgers to win, or Rodgers to win MVP, Jets to win the Super Bowl. I did that like before the schedule release. Now the prices have jumped quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you went from like the worst quarterback in, potentially like the worst quarterback in decades, and Zach Wilson, just looking at EPA per play or depth adjusted completion, like any number you want to look at, the guy is so, so bad. And there's tremendous upside with Aaron Rodgers. Okay, Ben Roethlisberger had a more recent 300-yard game, but the guy played 3 snaps last year before getting hurt.
Yep.
The year before that, he played with a broken thumb to his throwing hand for, I don't know, 60% of the year. And then before that, he won back-to-back MVPs. So, like, you could replace, like, even if he's perfectly average this year, the jump from Zach Wilson to a perfectly average player is exponential. And from a real football standpoint, this is still, in my opinion, like an easy top three defense in the NFL. And now you don't have a guy who's getting sacked every third drop back and turning the ball over every other drive. I think they're going to be a really good team. And from an offensive standpoint, yeah, I expect a massive jump. But like, one of the great things about this offense is just how highly concentrated it is. Garrett Wilson, according to our metrics, is easily a top three separator in the NFL today. So he's going to get the ball. He's going to get his targets. And then Breece Hall, you look at what he did. You know, it took him a while to get fully back from that ACL surgery for the team to really trust him. But when you look at what he did over his last 8 or so games, you're talking about volume and usage that we've only ever seen from the Christian McCaffrey, LaDainian Tomlinson, Brian Westbrook, Steven Jacksons of the world, with insane efficiency on top of that, despite, you know, a really bad being a really bad team, where they knew you were going to try and run the ball every play.
The comparison most often heard is Breece Hall versus Bijan Robinson in fantasy drafts, always like right next to each other, pretty even split the way I hear people in the industry talk. Similar, perhaps, at least on some level, Atlanta with their likely, their projections last year to this year, or their results last year to this year's projections. You know, we have a lot of that potentially in the league this year. Tennessee might be completely different. Chicago, everybody expects, will be completely different, you know, going into the past, the Caleb Williams era. How do you figure out Bijan or Breece? Like, if you're drafting a lot, maybe it doesn't matter that you have a take one way or the other, but if you had one draft?
Yeah, it's Breece. He was the RB2 last year, and like the worst potential environment, worst quarterback in football, major upgrade, bottom five offensive line, major upgrade there. He was 9 months removed from ACL surgery in week one. You know, he was not getting the volume in the first half of the year. Jets trailed on 66% of their offensive plays. That was second worst. He ranked dead last in red zone drives per game. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But still, what did you see? Week 12 on, 15.1 carries per game, 7.9 targets per game. There's only ever been eight instances in NFL history of a running back eclipsing 15 carries, 7.5 targets per game in a full season. So just insane volume. I like the offensive environment. I believe in the player. So to me, that's easy. But the way I have it, CMC is my 101. Breece is my 102. Bijan's my 103. So it is tight. Really do like to pay a premium for the highest end running backs. And then there's a fall off where I'm still not too excited to draft them after that. But yeah, Breece for me, RB2.
Mm-hmm. I know from reading your draft guide, you're big on Malik Nabers this year. Going back to the beginning of our conversation and some of the problems you can run into with rankings, you know, from the bigger sites, like Yahoo hated my Xavier Worthy pick in round 7 or something like that. Just hated it. That's really why I got my F, I know. But it seems to me that there's an edge in being, you know, willing, at least even eager, to go after rookies. We've had so many great rookie wide receiver seasons. Nabers, and then like how many guys are there for you this year? Not that you have to count them, but is it a lot? I mean, you get into the second round and you have McConkey and Coleman and Polk and even guys drafted, Mitchell drafted after that. If you're into this kind of thing, wide receivers, rookie wide receivers, there's a lot to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's historically a great bet to make, is betting on the rookie wide receivers. Lots of upside there. And you see this trend every year where it's like, you know, in June, every fantasy analyst is like, you know, buy up the rookie wide receivers. There's underrated upside there. They're more productive in the second half of the year, which is when points matter the most. And then preseason games start happening. And so, like, a Jalen Polk isn't running with the starters in preseason. Everyone panics. Everyone pushes him down off the board. And, yeah, I'm trying to keep a level head. Knew this was likely to happen. I'm excited about obviously Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Xavier Worthy. These stand out most. Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman. And a super deep sleeper, I guess. Oh, Jalen Polk, super deep sleeper. Maybe Luke McCaffrey is the slot in that Cliff Kingsbury offense. I think that's a smart bet. And like looking at the price on all these guys, I think they're all, you know, worthy of their price at the very least.
This is super deep, super deep. But when we were talking about receiver before the Bills draft, of course, like we were, Brendan Rice is somebody that had a little bit of buzz there for a minute. Not all the best measurables, but he ends up going in round 7 to the Chargers, made the team. This is Jerry Rice's son. I mean, this is not a player you should have to draft in your home leagues or even, dare I say it, in the deep end invitational. But I don't know, maybe someone will tonight.
Yeah, he flashed in the preseason a little bit. He was getting run with the starters for a little bit there.
All right.
I think he made one good play.
How about the first round receivers, Scott? So Nabers doesn't quite get there, but Harrison does. We talked about Wilson. There's really been a cluster of players this year that seem largely interchangeable. Do you have any thoughts on like who you would prioritize? I mean, it's Tyreek, Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, of course, but maybe above all of them.
Yeah, Lamb, Tyreek, Jefferson. Right now, Amon-Ra St. Brown over Chase, just given the uncertainty regarding the contract. Then Garrett Wilson, then A.J. Brown. And then there's this gigantic, disgusting tier. Like, it's not disgusting. Like, I'd be so happy to have any of these guys on my team. It just feels so deep and not necessarily in line with ADP. And so my wide receiver eight, which is like a bit of a hot take, is Cooper Kupp. And so he's someone you can get still round three on ESPN, round three on Yahoo. And I have him as my wide receiver eight. So
you have him, and you have Nacua at 13, which is maybe as low as I've seen.
Yeah, it's just, you know, everyone's worried about injury with Cooper Kupp, but he's the one who's fully healthy. Puka Nacua is the one who's banged up. I talked to my Rams sources. They're like, no. Cooper Kupp is the alpha of this offense. You know, no one knows just how badly he was banged up last year. Like, it was a miracle he was even on the field. And now he's fully healthy, like one up for the first time in potentially years. And so it's like an upside downside thing. And what is Cooper Kupp's upside? It's the most of any player in fantasy football history. He's
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Exceeded 16 fantasy points in 26, or there was a streak where he exceeded 16 fantasy points in 26 of 27 full games, averaging over 25.8 fantasy points per game over that span. Jerry Rice has never in a 27 game streak reached those numbers. And so it's like, if this guy was never hurt last year, would we be taking him mid round one? I think there's a really good chance we could. Yeah, Puka obviously had an amazing breakout, best rookie season ever, but we know Stafford and McVay are sort of kingmakers for wide receiver ones. There's also been word among the beat writers that they were just like, he was a little too banged up, a little too overused last year. And so I don't know. I feel good about it. Just looking at that upside, the fact that he's finally supposedly fully healthy.
Very good. Scott, I've taken a lot of your time. I know you've got much, I'm sure, tons of preparation to do as well. So in drafts, like even maybe tonight's, coming up. Great work.
Well, I was actually in the middle of one when you called.
Oh, really?
I just got auto picked on Underdog. Yeah, but that's no problem.
Oh, no.
Well, I'd be happier just talking to you. Yeah.
That can work.
I typed in round three anyway, so no worries.
That what's the difference in round three, right? Pretty much. I mean, structure. But yes, maybe that'll pay off for you. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Scott Barrett, fantasypoints.com, really is and kind of an incredible. He really writes at fantasypoints.com. So he's got a draft guide. There's much more on that site as well. Tonight, what I'm referring to is the fantasy podcast I have with Adam Krautwurst, The Deep End. We have four industry expert drafts. One is tonight. We're not actually, we usually live stream them, but there's another podcast called Ship Chasing that is like the guys on that show are all in this draft tonight. So I've been asked to host over there, which I'll do, and that should be really fun. Excited about that. Time for a break. Greg Rousseau scheduled to join next. Sal will visit at 5. We'll catch up on moves that were and weren't made today. The practice squad was put together, and also any practice nuggets that we have, injury updates and that sort of thing. It's pretty much here. Next week, Thursday night, the opener, Bills and Cardinals the following Sunday. Thanks for being with me, Mike Shope. This is WGR.
Back to pass on a three-step drop. Here comes Rousseau, and he's got him again for a sack. Two sacks for Greg Rousseau as he beat the first-round draft choice Broderick Jones from a year ago. That's two sacks on the day already.
Yep, that's the Pittsburgh preseason game on Russell Wilson, who, by the way, will start the opener for the Steelers. I was just sort of thinking out loud at one point, this job, you do that, you know, quite often, with New England not yet having named a starting quarterback. I was just thinking, you know, I think that's the only team yet to do it. I guess the Steelers had not done that. I just never thought, well, I shouldn't say never, but I have been assuming it would be Wilson. I didn't think there was really much need for that announcement, but, you know, okay, it hadn't been made, so it was made today. Russell Wilson, week one. They go to Atlanta. Arthur Smith revenge, week one, Pittsburgh at Atlanta. Can't wait. I mean, just every day, as exhausting as it might be to listen to, or, you know, sometimes even to talk about all the different, you know, wide receivers, like all the time and all the different aspects of this. We're almost there. We're almost there. Even by the beginning of next week, you know, we'll all get Monday off and then Tuesday we'll be into it. Probably Trista again, your Ross Tuckers, your Joe Ostrowski's. Actually, I haven't heard anything about Ross, but I'm expecting him to be back on, right back into regular season mode. I'm waiting to hear from Greg Rousseau. That's supposed to be right now, so hopefully that'll happen in just a minute. The Bills did, as you might have heard in the update, they didn't lose anybody that they waived yesterday to, you know, another team. And when I actually talked to Sal twice yesterday and sort of tried to figure this out. It really isn't surprising. I mean, a lot of teams just don't dabble. Sal made a point about how, and I made this point earlier today, how important familiarity is to teams, you know, like on ties, you're going to go with the guy you have. And maybe if it's not even 50-50, maybe if it's 40-60, you're still going to go with the guy you have. And so there's that in the first place. And then I looked at it as, so you had the two guys that were the most interesting, perhaps, maybe the best, the candidates most likely to be claimed by other teams would have been Tyrell Shavers and Daquan Hardy, but neither guy had any sort of draft capital. Hardy was a sixth round pick late in the sixth round, second to last pick, and Shavers wasn't drafted at all. And I guess I feel like teams are more likely, this just makes sense, doesn't it? They're going to be likelier to claim players that there was more interest in before the draft. You know, you're going to have a GM somewhere or scouts in some room somewhere excited about certain players that had, you know, better draft capital. That's kind of just how teams are going to think about it. And there were players picked up. I love that Carolina picked six guys off waivers today. You know, no, don't be so stubborn and in love with your players, especially when you're Carolina, to not be willing to take those sort of shots. I mean, I love that. I do think it makes sense that teams stay with their own, but they probably do that more often than they should. And the way waivers works, you get as many – Carolina had the worst record in the league. You get as many of those guys as you want. You get as many claims as you want. I don't even know if there's any limit to it. I mean, six seemed like a pretty good number. So there might have been 16 or 18 players overall that were claimed. And the Panthers went ahead and just started the ball rolling by picking six guys. I don't know. Like, nobody seems that high on Carolina. I'm certainly not that high on Carolina. I mentioned I did Matt Collar's podcast before, and the Panthers came up, and I completely forgot about Deontay Johnson, giving Matt a fantasy analysis, such as it is, for Carolina, and forgot that the first guy from the Panthers that goes in drafts is almost always Deontay Johnson, which is okay. Bryce Young had a few moments in the game against the Bills on Saturday. Mike White added to the Bills roster, quarterback. He's been with the Jets and the Dolphins. I thought he was a little bit interesting a couple of years ago for the Jets, but has since just been a backup. And I don't mind that idea at all for the Bills, whether Mitch Trubisky is going to be available for week one. He's apparently today, or was, if practice isn't over or is over, in a red jersey. So he's at least questionable, not officially, but for that game against Arizona. And you're going to want somebody healthy, so Mike White might end up being where the Bills turn. Brandon Bean spoke earlier. We'll talk to Sal at about 5 today on what Bean had to say on Milano. Yesterday, when talking to Sal, I asked him at one point if the Bills listing Milano as designated to return off IR was the most interesting aspect of their second, like the official cuts that came down. And he said no, because he'd basically been assuming that that's what they would do. I had just been sort of thinking about Matt Milano more as a he could miss the season player from that injury. But as Sal rightly pointed out, the Bills didn't need to really address that in those moves. They have these two designated spots where you put a guy on IR and you can bring him back into the season. And so really, without a list of those guys for the Bills that were sort of questionable in that way, Milano would easily have been one of them. So it didn't really tell us anything, I think, is the takeaway. Bean today, to my ears, he was more in the area of, we have to see if he can make it back this year. I mean, that's not a direct quote, but he absolutely was talking like it's no given that Milano will play, but the Bills have the right to bring him back by this. All right, still no Greg Rousseau, so I'm going to break here and see if he might join us in the next few minutes, and we'll try again. Sal Capaccio at 5. This is Mike Shope on WGR. One of the guys in my new fantasy league heard me talking to Scott Barrett about getting that F grade at Yahoo. And I don't know. I hope I didn't sound like I've got it. I don't mean that. I just thought, that makes sense. Because if you don't go by their rankings, why would they give you a good grade? Like, that seems like pretty obvious. We'll have to take our chances there. Welcome back. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. Very excited to be joined by Greg Rousseau of the Bills on the West Shore Hotline. Greg, I'm Mike. Nice to talk to you. How was practice?
Yo, what's up, Mike? It was a good day. It was a good day at work.
Are you into regular season mode? Do practices change after, the last couple of days when cuts happen?
Not for me, for real. I mean, I know I got to go out there and do my job at a high level, so nothing really changes for me, depending on the time of year.
Okay. How do you feel physically? How has the summer been?
It's been great. It's been great. Just been up here, getting better, putting in the work, and trying to help the team win this fall. So I'm excited for next week.
Does it feel different this year, Greg, with the players, key core guys who have left? That's been a lot of what we've been talking about. I think the media and the fans talk about with this year's Bills. Sure. Do you notice it?
No, not really. Just because, with us doing it, just trying to do our jobs, and I know me personally, it's really tunnel vision out there. How could I worry about the offense? You know what I'm saying? How would that help me do my job better if I'm worried about, who's aren't playing, who left, who, you know what I'm saying? Or like me worried about the secondary. I just know I got trust in the other 10 guys that are on the field with me. I know I got trust in the rest of the whole entire team too. But I know I try to just lock in. I just focusing on small stuff. It makes it easier than seeing rather than seeing like big picture and all the other stuff.
Yeah, no, that can be just for us to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll talk about the changes to the roster, but what you say makes perfect sense. It's probably best, you know, to just what you can control and don't worry about what you can't.
Yeah, it makes it easier. Like it's just like, oh, I'm coming here, gotta focus on my hands or my get off my eyes. Like it's less stress on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, maybe that answers my next question, too. I don't know, but I thought maybe this year might seem different in a leadership capacity. As you get older and some other veterans leave, I'm not sure there'd be anything specific you'd be asked to do in this way, but maybe it's just more implied and you sort of sense that, you know, you're one of the veterans now.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel that leadership, a lot of it goes with leading by example, you know, like, it's good to talk, but also at the same time, making sure you're about your stuff and you're doing everything in your power to play a ball at a high level. I feel like when you see that as a younger guy, I know me personally, it's like it's inspiring. So coming in and seeing dudes like Josh and just the way that they work and the way they approach it is like, man, like I got to be on point. I got to be on my stuff because I'm in the locker room with him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like and stepping up as a leader comes with time for sure. And also just your reputation and what you can do out there on Sundays.
Are you satisfied with how much work you got in the preseason? That's another thing we talk about with veterans all the time is how much they should play. Do you feel good about how much playing time you got?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I feel like it was good to get out there and move around and get some rushes in and be out there with the guys. Like especially like in an away game, just so you can get your routine down and how you prepare for an away game, a night game. It was pretty cool.
That's good. Greg Rousseau with me. I'm Mike Shope. This is WGR. Well, you're definitely in the moment. You're telling me that, and I can tell. That's good. I would like to ask you a couple questions about, you know, your background and your career, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I talked to Ray Davis earlier this week, and I was sort of reading up on him. And, of course, running back. But he played some linebacker in high school. I didn't talk about that with him. I just remember it. And reading on you, I know you played some wide receiver in high school. And I'm trying to picture that. I don't know how big you were at that time. But what was that experience like?
It was a lot of fun for real. I was tall. But I was a lot skinnier. I was probably like 200 pounds. But I used to go out there and just catch fade balls all day, run deep routes. A couple screens here and there just to keep the defense honest. And, yeah, we won a state championship, so it was fun as hell. It was super fun.
I had a guest on earlier today talking about fantasy football. We were talking about Keon Coleman. And he said that this – I don't know if the numbers were exactly right. He said that in one high school season, Greg, Coleman had 42 catches for 38 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's absurd. That's crazy.
I mean, were you in the end zone all the time in that state champions?
Yeah, not as much as that.
not 38.
No, not even close.
How did it sort of take shape for you playing the position that you were drafted to play? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of great athletes like yourself who play both ways in high school. It may even be pretty common. What goes into sort of a player like yourself, and maybe this is a typical example or maybe not, ending up playing, you know, the position you ended up playing in the league?
I mean, yeah, when I went into college, I knew I was going to play defense. So it was a pretty smooth transition for me to come into the league playing defensive end because, I mean, that's all I played in college, and I had a real good season my redshirt freshman year.
Right.
So, yeah.
But the U seems to be a pretty trendy choice this year, by the way.
Oh yeah. I like what I see from them. They're looking good. I'm excited for the game coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, maybe they're back. Maybe University of Miami is back. Well,
yeah, I'm not going to jinx it. You know what I'm saying? I hope so, though.
Maybe I'll just say that. Okay, so you know, this time of year we're talking a lot about injuries. I guess today, from what I heard, and I'll have Sal Capaccio on in a little bit, that maybe you guys are trending up as a team when it comes to injuries. Of course, you have a few guys, but like at the safety position and others, you've had Curtis Samuel perhaps. Maybe things are looking up.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's part of the game, you know, whatever the time of year is, training camp, preseason, regular season injuries come up. here and there, and it's all about dudes just stepping up and also just dudes working hard to get back healthy, just like I know all the dudes here do, and I've done it before, so yeah.
And one more easy one for you, Greg. So again, like, this is sort of the theme of our conversation, just staying in the moment and all of that. Out here, you know, it's the Super Bowl, it's the playoffs, it's, you know, the Bills have been so close, you know, and successful, but then bowing out in the second round here a few times. I guess, you know, and this might be you and maybe all your teammates, best not to look ahead like that.
Yeah, I say it is, because, like, you can't play the regular season without playing the preseason. You can't play in the playoffs without winning a certain amount of games in the regular season. So you can never really put the carriage, you know what I'm saying, in front of the horse. You got to, like, take it day by day. And it might be boring or monotonous, but you got to break it down to, like, if I'm practicing on a Friday, like, how can I have the best practice to help me play the best game Sunday, or if I have a Saturday walkthrough, how can I walk through the right way on Saturday to get my mind right mentally so I can go out there and produce and play good and play high-level football on Sunday. When you break it down, it's easier. When you look at that big picture, man, it's convoluted. It's a lot. There's a lot of moving pieces. It's too much to focus on. You just got to focus on, like, you only have one day that's promised, and that's the day that you woke up on. You know what I'm saying? The only day promised for me right now is today. So that's the way I look at it. I know a lot of my teammates kind of had the same vibe towards it.
That's good. Can you at least, though, I mean, as the fans will be doing, looking ahead to next Sunday, I mean, it's such a long wait. We're in here talking about you guys like every single day. I'm practically just completely spent doing that. It's not, you know, real work, but still. But you can probably hear the crowd, you know, maybe you get a great weather day, week one, Arizona. It's coming quick.
Yeah, no, it's coming quick for sure. And I know I'm excited for it. I know the whole entire organization is excited for it. It's always a great atmosphere. The fans always bring the juice whenever we're in Orchard Park. So, I mean, it's hell of, I love 1 o'clock games too. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Very good. Well, it's nice to know you, Greg. Good luck this year.
For sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Greg Rousseau on the Wester Hotline. Beck, what a specimen. I mean, I'm not around the players like I used to be, but I remember when I started to cover the Bills, just like these guys. I think, like, how could you block a guy like that? Or how could you tackle somebody that, like, just, I sometimes my thoughts turn to that, thinking about players. That all sounds right. You wouldn't want the Bills to be thinking about the second round, or necessarily even players like Rousseau thinking about the fact that Trey White isn't there or whatever. Like, why would that help him? As he said, pretty good. Didn't get any fantasy questions in. Not that he would be thinking about that at all. Of course, it's all I think about, pretty much. And I wish I were kidding. I wish that weren't true, but it kind of is. Talking to Scott Barrett. Yeah, he had that stat earlier today on Coleman. I don't know if it's right, but it sounds pretty amazing. Wouldn't it be true, like, most guys would play, athletes on that level would play offense and defense? And I'm curious, like, in each case, sort of how it gets decided, you know, which side they play. Is it always their choice? No. I mean, depends on maybe how a coach or some sort of other person in your life thinks maybe you're best suited, and then recruiters who might see you, you know, different traits or different possibilities for you as a college player. Super cool. Good for Greg Rousseau, doing well. Sal's coming up at 5. I'm going to break here, and we'll have Sal Capaccio coming up at the top of the hour. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.